This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM.com, for the coolest shirts, hoodies, stickers, and hats you're ever going to find online, all for you. Go check them out for sure. www.ABSFAM.com.
Yeah, huge shout out to the AVS fam. Colorado Hockey's coming in, man. Let me teach you how to dutchie. On the ice, the dutchie touch. Hashtag volley volley. The crazy saves, this so gnarly. The Condor and Landy. Team Butte is sweeter than candy. Colorado Hockey's coming in. Colorado Hockey for the win. Tune into the podcast, we're live. Colorado Hockey has arrived. ColoradoHockey.com.
So today we have an in-between episode for you, and it starts off with us asking Jessica Canellis who she is and what she does and how people might know her in this hockey world. Without further ado, here's Jessica.
Well, I write game analysis for NBC Sports Network covering the NHL Central and Pacific, but I mostly follow the Avs and Blackhawks. Those are my two teams that I spend most of my time dealing with. So I travel back and forth from Denver to Chicago a lot.
That's
and
awesome.
most of that stuff goes on Pro Hockey Talk, or it goes back to the talking heads at NBC Sports, like, you know, Liam McHugh, Jeremy Roenick, stuff like that. Basically feeding them kind of stats and info sheets.
How do you come to do this? I mean, how do you just suddenly send stats to Jeremy Roenick? That's pretty amazing.
Well, it goes through like computer, and then we just like kind of email back and forth through the whole thing and give them their notes. It's pretty easy, actually. It's just like, you know, sending out like a chat, but basically they need their stat sheets every few minutes. And so we just send it off. It's actually more difficult than people realize, because friends of mine will be asking like, oh, that's so cool. You get to go to all the games. You get to do this, that. Like, no, I really have to pay attention. I'm not sitting in the stands drinking beers with you clowns.
But it could be worse, right? I mean,
obviously it could be a lot worse. I thoroughly enjoy what I do.
And you really can't have a beer while you're doing it? That sounds...
No, it's you have to... I mean, I've had games where my contacts, I just can't, like, it's my eyes are fried from staring at the ice, the screen, and so I'll put on glasses, because you really have to be focused. You can't miss, because, you know, it's like shots on goal, saves, blocks, that stuff, you got to catch it all.
And so you're pulling all of your own stats on that? You're not just accessing somebody else or a service?
No, there's a couple of us that do it.
Huh. I had no idea on that. I figured there was just like one source of stats, something that NHL owned or that they commissioned.
It's kind of like the Situation Room type situation, I guess.
Okay.
it's kind of how it works.
And this is your everyday job? This is what you do?
So yeah, this
is what
is
my, you do for a living? You're a writer?
My quote-unquote 9-to-5, yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Most people don't have it that cool, so kudos to you.
Well, thanks.
And you got to want to do that, right? So you have to go out and kind of chase it down. And I think it's really awesome. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I want to get onto the broadcast side, but right now you have to start somewhere.
Totally. Is that a skill set of yours? Are you good on camera?
I would like to think so, but only time will tell, I guess. And the audition process and my reels, I guess, will tell.
So is there a place where you can actually be seen on the internet right now? Or is it just heard, or you're writing through other people?
It's mostly just heard. I've done a couple little things here and there, but nothing too major. I have a reel and stuff. I actually got an offer with MLB Network, but I kind of want to stay with the NHL for the time being.
That's good. I appreciate that too. I mean, it'd be pretty glamorous to run over to the MLB, wouldn't it? I mean, just to get in that door too. So I like that you're sticking
with
what you love.
Yeah. I mean, I like both, but NHL is where my heart's at. So I decided to stay.
How do you become so dedicated to the Avs and the Blackhawks at the same time? How does that work?
Well, I'm from Colorado. And so I grew up, you know, watching the Avs. I mean, the 96 Avs, that was my jam. You know, when they first came to Denver, we went to hockey games all the time. We were, you know, I actually just came back from a wedding and I wore my 96 Avs Stanley Cup championship hat to the beach.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, and then Blackhawks, they kind of threw me in with that. That was one of the other team assignments that I got along with Colorado.
So that's not before, so bad either.
Right. I mean, they're a good team, and I've always had, you know, a good time working with them. And Joel Quenneville is one of the most intense people, but also one of the nicest people.
Really? I would. So the nice, I would have guessed. The intense, I wouldn't have. I mean, maybe he just has a poker face, but it seems like he's always just super chill.
He's really intense. I mean, a calm Quinville is a scary Quinville. You would like to, like an animated him is more. You're like, okay, things are all right. But if the second he gets quiet, you're like, oh no, he is angry.
And so he comes with a certain amount of respect from Colorado people because he spent time here both as a Rocky
way
back in the day and then also as a coach. And I mean, typically if you're a coach and you're asked to leave, which I think he was, you can just correct me if I'm wrong at any point. I make things up sometimes, but I think he was let go. I mean, not in a mean way.
He was let go, yeah.
Right. And typically, you know, I mean, I always refer to Sacco as the man of which we do not speak. But I mean, when he was asked to go, he didn't have any love left for him whatsoever. People still don't like him. But somehow Quinville held this respect with people. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but it's definitely my case, too. I respect the guy to no end.
Absolutely. See, I think Sacco, I mean, a lot of Az fans were reminded of him last night because he is an assistant with Boston. He just kind of ran the team into the ground. I mean, he had no kind of real game plan that people followed, really. And then his media remarks were just kind of, you know, we were okay. I liked what we did. It was the same thing over and over again. Whereas with Quinville, he'll, you know, say, no, we actually did not play our best game. And Patrick Waugh, a lot of people were getting on him last season for being kind of soft. And saying, you know, we want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear this fluffy answer that you're wanting to give us. We want to see Patrick Waugh be Patrick Waugh. And that's been kind of his issue as of late. But he's getting a little more feisty. He's getting a little more of that OG Patrick Waugh back, which as fans are starting to appreciate again.
Right. I mean, when we saw the first game with him behind the bench, everybody's like, here we go. It's on.
Everyone was like, yeah, game on.
Yeah. And then from there, though, he has kind of mellowed out. Like, he's really surprised me with his patience with the team and just his, you know, I mean, I think there's plenty of things he could have called out along the way, but he really hasn't. I think that him and Jaguar at one point had kind of mixed thoughts in the media, but that was about it.
Yeah, I mean, this actually, speaking of Jaguar, he had a big issue with Sacco as well. I don't know if you recall the Vegas incident a couple years ago where the team had kind of almost given up and Sacco had almost in a way given up because he kind of knew he was on his way out and was just kind of, you know, threw his hands in the air, was, you know, whatever. And Jiggy stood up and was like, I don't care. He's like, I want to finish the rest of this season. I don't care about my Vegas trip. I don't care about this, that, the other. I want to finish the season on a high note. And, you know, and that's kind of the way Jiggy is. And that's kind of the way that Patrick Waugh is. He wants to be a winner and he wants to do this and that. And when he does it, he kind of just sits back and doesn't like it and doesn't know how to exactly respond other than getting crazy. And he's been kind of warned by the team to reel it in a little bit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he got his first season in the league. He got a lot of fines for a lot of profanities and things on the bench during games. So he kind of toned it back a little bit. And I think it's, you know, part of the growing pains of becoming a coach in the NHL. You know, you kind of have to learn when and where to say and to be kind of that animated, I suppose.
I don't think I would have done that. I think I would have told him to go ahead and rack up the fines, maybe even throw in a little bonus for him, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's about the fans, right? I mean,
yeah,
I
know, and that's what fans love to see. They love to see that old, it's like what's old is new again when they see him that way.
Well, and it shows you some fight, right? Because we've had we've had some lackluster moments so far. We're kind of bipolar, like we have a great game, then we completely lose our minds. And that one kind of solid thing is that you know that Waugh is fighting. And anymore, he looks like he's kind of just given up on cutting his hair, trimming his beard, and you hope not the team, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you do want that fire from your coach because that's where the leadership starts. And that's where the players look, you know, for guidance to the head coach. So, but he's been better, a little bit more feisty. I mean, after a couple of losses at home, he really, you know, he was mad and he made it, you know, known that he was mad.
Well, good. I think he should be.
And even the other day with Nathan McKinnon, you know, he's a young kid and he said, you know, at this point, there are no more moral victories for us. He's like, it doesn't even matter. Like, we have to win. There's like, it doesn't matter if we, you know, lose. It's not a moral victory. We lost. The end.
I think that might be how I came across you, actually, because I saw that, I believe, in your Twitter timeline that you had something like that in there, a quote or something like that. And to me, that just shows his maturity. I think that, I mean, good God, I was on board with him, but I wasn't sure what he'd really become, because a lot of guys come on strong. They get in the league for a while, and either mentally or physically, they get beat down. But he's stronger and smarter in every part of his game right now. And if anything,
absolutely.
I mean, if anything, he's just too fast. And I'm not just talking about his feet. Like, his brain is just, you know, 1,000 miles an hour. Like, when he gets a shot, it doesn't take him long to pull the trigger on it from anywhere on the ice. Like, he's constantly fast forward all the time.
100%. And I think that was his issue last season, because he was used to having Paul Stastny, who kind of has that same mind as he does, that, you know, that really high hockey IQ, and who would be there, who kind of knew what Kid was trying to do with the play. And so he could sense it. So he'd be there to kind of back him up. Whereas last season, he didn't have anyone there. And this year, he's kind of figuring it out. And I mean, that kid, he is so fast and he's so strong. You put that combo together, it's unreal. He's one of the best players in the league.
He's got a mean streak too, right? I don't know if he's getting that from Iggy or if that's just his thing, but I see him looking to test his skills all the time in the mean and even the fighting area.
Yeah, he is not afraid. He's going to be 20 this year. I mean, he's a kid and he's playing like a vet. I mean, and I knew coming into this season that he would have a bounce back season, because a player like that will not let himself have another bad season like he did last season.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, for me, it's just one of those things, like, he's so young and, like, you get the heart, you get the desire, but can he put it together? So I wasn't sure. And I love him. I'm not trying to say that I'm on the fence about whether or not he should stick with this. I heard somebody say, and this is online, so take it for what it is, but he's the only untouchable on the Avs right now.
Right. It's a quote, direct quote from Joe Sakic himself. He said, everyone is expendable with the exception of MacKinnon.
Well, I think that's a good move right there, right? Because
I agree. I was really disappointed in that Ryan O'Reilly trade. I think that they should have got rid of Duchesne, frankly. Because if you look at right now, Ryan O'Reilly is eighth in faceoff leaders. I mean, he's killing it. He's doing great in Buffalo. He's a really great two-way player. In a year or two, he'll be up there with, like, the Bergerons and Tays of the league. I mean, he's really good. I feel like the Avs are missing him this season with takeaways alone.
Well, maybe on the ice, right?
Absolutely.
That's the case in the locker room. I mean, because it seemed like there was some animosity, some issues, and, like, he wanted to be more of a leader than he would ever be on our team. That's the only thing I can make myself feel good about with this trade, is that maybe he wouldn't be that player here. Maybe it would still be tension, and it would be.
And that's why I think this trade was the good thing that came from this trade, was because he's already wearing the A in Buffalo.
Right. And I think that was part of the conversation when he signed the contract. He's like, look, I want to be a leader. You know, show me something, make a move that shows me I'm going to be that guy.
And he is a leader. He, you know, he's the first one on the ice, last one off. Always. He was always that way at practice for the Avs, and he's that way with Buffalo now. He's a really great player and person. He's a guy that you want in your locker room. He brings people together. He's a friend. He's fun. He's a nice guy. He's not a me player. He's a we player.
Right. And so, I mean, I miss him for sure, right? I mean, I made a bunch of shirts with the dude's name all over it, things like that. Like, I was on board. I was Team Ryan O'Reilly for sure. But I think that the Avs also had a problem where they had too many people who could be the leader, too many people who could wear a letter even, right? And one of those still sits on the cloud, I think, which is fine, whatever. But I think that, you know, at some point we kind of have to set people up and let them know what their role is on the team. And I'm not just talking about fourth liners or third liners. Like, you know, when you come to these guys and you say, look, this is where we're going with this. Landeskog is the captain, will be forever, because nobody's ever going to take it away from him. But this is what we want from you on the team. And you may not be the star. It might not be your face on the NHL 2016 game that comes out. You know, it's one of those things where I think there was some of that, like, who was the real star? And there was this in battle for.
Right. And I don't know if it was, like, a media created thing, or, I mean, I don't know, but a lot of people, pegged Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Duchesne against each other. That they were in constant competition for that who's the biggest star type thing.
There's good and bad competition, right? So my thing is, I think that it was negative for Matt Duchesne. I think that the Avs said, okay, we're going to make this move. Duchesne, here's your chance to step it up. Let's do it. And then he didn't right away.
Right. And
not for lack of trying. Let's be fair. I mean, there are some amazing saves on Duchesne. And then
Duchesne has picked it up as of late. He has.
Right.
My issue with Matt Duchene is he doesn't play any defense or plays very little. He plays like a Sidney Crosby, Patrick Kane, Skinner type game. Kessel, I guess, if you want to say that too, type game without the productivity of those players. Like Sidney Crosby can kind of get away with not playing any defense because he's been consistent for 10 years in the league.
Well, and even Ovechkin's starting to play some D too. I don't know about recently.
Right. And so those type of players, because they put up those points, can kind of get away with it more than a Matt Duchene, who is so, he's at best a streaky Phil Kessel. I mean, a lower level Phil Kessel.
Well, I bet you piss some people off with this stuff.
I'm sure I am. And I've said it before. I think Matt Duchene's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He is a great player. But he's just inconsistent.
No, that's fair, though, right?
He's a streaky player. But when he's on, not many players better than him. But when he's off, it is not good. Because you can see his frustration. Yeah. He lets it show.
What would you expect from him on defense then? Because he's not a big dude. He's not going to muscle people. Although I have seen him put the shoulder into a couple guys when he was really struggling. But I think that was frustration checking.
I would like to see him get a little bit more aggressive and do hit a little bit more.
And you know, get it? Hitting?
Yeah. I would just like to see him get a little bit more, just not even gritty, but just maybe a teeny bit of grit. Just a little. Just show us something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough because I try to figure out what kind of player he is. And when he's on,
Oh, absolutely. When he's on, I mean, he's one of the top players in the league when he's on. But when he's off, it's as bad as it can get. And I mean, an example the other day, who was it? Were they playing Philly? It wasn't even Philly. It was at home. But anyway, four players came at Matt Duchene. You know, he's in a scrum with four players, one of them giving him a face wash, not one av in sight to help him out. What does that say?
Yeah, so Twitter caught that too. Twitter is a funny thing. It's this living, breathing organism, right? And
it really is.
People kind of latch on when they see something like that, and a lot of them don't let go either. I might have been guilty of that last night on the Landeskog hit, to tell you the truth. But yeah, it's really fascinating to me because there's just like this instant feedback from everybody, and it's overwhelming at times too. But yeah, everyone caught that for sure. I think that's sort of the team problem right now is a lot of them are playing for a job next year or to not get traded instead of playing for the guy next to them when it really counts.
Right. Well, I mean, who's up? Barry is up for contract at the end of this season. Johnson has one more. Who else is up? There's someone else that's pretty. Oh, McKinnon. So they gotta, they gotta do something there. Should be interesting to see what happens.
Like McKinnon's a keeper, for sure, right? But,
oh, yeah. McKinnon, he's not going anywhere. There's no way.
Is Barry a keeper?
I think so.
I think he's a good player who just got in a rut and then got a really silly suspension. Like, I don't know.
It was, and I mean, Landy is going to get a game for that hit last night.
Just one, you think?
At least.
So, you know what? I mean, this is a weird thing, because I don't think Landy was headhunting at all.
He's not that type of player.
Right? He stopped his stride. He didn't charge him or anything like that. He's a big dude who hit a little man, and the little man happened to, I don't know if he turned into it or away from it. And this is me being a fan, by the way, too. So call bullshit anytime you want. But
yeah.
I think that it wasn't intentional, and you maybe give him a game because those are the rules and that's what it looks like in black and white. But at the same time, you don't give him more than that because there was no malintent. There was nobody trying to take somebody's head off. And then what I saw is I saw him go to apologize to him and then get punched in the face for it.
I
got kicked out of the game. I'm guessing on his way out of the stadium, he stubbed his toe too, because it was that kind of night. But just
nuts. Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I don't think that Landeskog went in with any malicious intent. He's not that type of player. He doesn't have any prior offenses. And I've watched the replay many times, and it's more of a shoulder. Like you can see that he tries to let up a little bit, but at the same time, he could have made more of an effort.
That's a lot to ask in the middle of a game, though. I don't know if you've played sports or not, but you get in this fight mode, and Yeah,
absolutely. And obviously you could tell Marshawn wasn't hurt because he went to punch him in the face. So
he was mad and he might have been in salesman mode a little bit. I don't know. I guess I'm being controversial too, but to me, it was a way bigger deal than it should have been. Sure, kick him out of the game, even though I don't agree with that, and then give him a game, but that's it. No more than that.
Yeah, I think he'll get a game, and I'm hoping that's it. But, you know, those are the kind of hits that the league is trying to eliminate, so we will see. I don't think that they should make an example out of Landeskog because he isn't a prior offender. Landeskog, I don't think, has had any prior suspension, so... I think the one game should be good, but we'll see. He has a hearing, so.
What do you think of his play in general right now? Is he the leader that we all thought he would be?
Or you know what? And that is a good question. A lot of people don't think that he is a good captain. They don't think that he's ready. I beg to differ. I think that he's doing a solid job with what he's been given and what his role is. And he's, on and off the ice, he's playing like a captain on the ice, I think. He's making those hits. He's taking one for the team. He's getting in those fights. He's talking to the linesmen. He's doing all of that stuff. And then off the ice, he organizes a lot of off-ice kind of bonding things for the team as well.
Yeah, I don't even know of the one where they went up to Aspen or something like that, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and he does a lot of, you know, theme parties for the group and stuff like that. He hosts a lot of those and just like casual like game nights and things like that. He hosts a lot of those, which is a cool thing to do, kind of get everyone on the same page and keep everyone, you know, kind of light and together, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I think that, you know, the adversity now as a captain is probably going to pay off down the road. I think that this team does have a future. I don't know if we'll make the playoffs this year. I think it's kind of far-fetched at this point, given our division and our inconsistent play. But, you know, win two more games and I'll be on board for making the playoffs again too. So I'm easily swayed that way. But
This road trip is huge. I mean, look at Chicago. Chicago isn't doing that well this season either, but they're Chicago, so you never know.
It's so easy to look at another team and go, yeah, but whatever. You know, they're Chicago. They're going to get it together.
Right.
So ingrained in your team. You're like every minute of the game, you're like, yes, no, God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if I'm watching the game as a fan, not as, you know, a person working the game, you definitely think that I'd have Tourette's for sure. Because I'm stand up, sit down, screaming, like not screaming, doing gestures. You'd think that I seriously had issues, but...
So I wanted to talk to you about trades. I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
Again? Oh, no, go ahead.
It's difficult over the phone sometimes. But yeah, I definitely wanted to talk trades with you a little bit and to kind of transition off that. I don't think Landy's going anywhere for a long, long time, even beyond his current contract. I think they're totally invested in this guy, so long as he doesn't do something completely bonehead or just decline physically, you know?
I agree. I think Landeskog is safe. I think EJ is safe. McKinnon, obviously. Barry, safe. Again, he has, you know, no movement, so he's not going anywhere.
Well, he could pretty much request it and get it, though. I think there's a certain respect, and especially him, in almost a Raymond Bourque situation where he wants to get a cup. Everybody knows it. And
right.
The leaders of this team, minus the KSE people. Well, I guess they're all KSE, but like Sakic and Watt, they get it. They know, right? I
could right.
See, hey, look, guys, it's been great. I'd love to win a cup. See if you can find a home for me on a contender. I think they'd do it.
I think they would, but he also has stated his kids play hockey out in Denver, so he's kind of decided Denver will be his home base. But yeah, I think if, you know, a cup was on the line, he would definitely jump at the opportunity.
Right, and that's going to happen at a time in the year where he's not going to have to uproot his family at that moment. He'll be on the road most of the time. And he'll be in playoff mode if he's really going to be doing that. So I don't know. I have a lot of respect for guys like that too, where he's, you know, dedicated to the family in a way where he's willing to sacrifice his dreams a little bit. But I have to think that the family at the same time would be like, look, here's an opportunity. Do it. We'll be here at Christmas.
Yeah, I agree. So, did you Shane thing, though? I would rather him not get moved because I, like I said before, with the Ryan O'Reilly thing, it was one or the other and they chose O'Reilly to move. I wasn't thinking both, but I could see a package deal with Varley and Duchesne for maybe like an Eberle and a defensive prospect, maybe.
Haven't heard that name yet. I've heard a lot of names come up in this conversation, but I haven't heard that one yet.
Eberle?
Yeah.
I think he hasn't, I mean, if you look at Edmonton, they have all the pieces, but just for some reason it doesn't work. Maybe a Varley and Duchesne going over there would help them, and Eberle would help us.
Well, what's up with Varley? Any thoughts on this? Is he just hurt, or is that just something to, you know, justify sitting him while our backup goalie plays and we call up the future goalie? I think
well, this Varley is something Washington Capitals fans know all too well. They're all too familiar with this Varley. Varley, he's a great goaltender. The last two seasons were amazing. You know, it was like the first season where he was the number one. Everyone's like, wow, Varley really stood in his head. We can't ask that of him again, can we? Kind of question mark. And then it's like, can we do it a third time? And that's it's really asking a lot, because what Varley did the past two seasons was just unreal. But he's injury prone right now. And another thing with Varley is he's very mental. And if you look at how it was in DC, he had Neubert. Like, it was a battle for who was number one goalie between him and Neubert. And it's kind of happening again this season with Varley not playing his best and then Vera stepping up to the plate. So it's like, who is kind of the number one? And that's why Jiggy was the best thing to happen to the Avs, because he knew that he was never going to be the number one.
Right, but he had just poise, the kind of poise you don't get without playing a long, long career and going through what he'd gone through. That
right.
was a really good setup.
And he helped Varley. He's like, whatever you need me to do to help you be, he wasn't competing with Varley. Whereas if you look at Pickard and Vera, they're still trying to make their names in the NHL.
And so I'm going to go deep here. Stay with me or see if I can make sense of this at all. So just in life in general and in sports and things like that, I've dealt with these people who are unable to get their game to the level it needs to be unless their back is just against the wall. Like, this adrenaline hit has to find them to where it's now or never. It's cowboy style. We can't just, you know, iterate this one step at a time. And I wonder if Varley, you know, after 2 years of proving himself, if there wasn't some sort of like a mental letdown where he had a goalie behind him in Berra, who wasn't, you know, he was always a trade rumor. People are like, just get rid of him and eat the money at one point. And he's definitely had a comeback. But I wonder if that isn't something that happened to Varley, is that it takes energy to keep your mental game up that long. And he certainly had distractions along the way. But I wonder sometimes if it's not more psychological than anything else. I mean, I don't believe that his body's so beat up that he can't perform like he did before. And sometimes it's luck and bounces, and sometimes it's defense. But I think that for him, not being that, you know, that last stop, that last thing that keeps the Avs in it at all points, I wonder if he didn't let down a little bit because we got some new players that were supposed to be useful.
Right. I with Varley, I do think that it's very, very mental. I really do. Just because I've over the years watching him play in other cities, you know, he's kind of had the, like, he's been on cruise control, and then something happens where he almost feels, I don't, threatened isn't the right word, but
I'm with you though, right? Fight or flight.
Yeah. And where he kind of, something shakes his momentum a little bit and he kind of loses it, and then it stays in his mind.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, I mean, Waugh's pretty close to him. Waugh's been a goalie, and he's talking about confidence. I'm like, well, where the hell?
Right.
I mean, where'd it go? He had two amazing years. I mean, he should be pretty confident, but maybe it comes and goes that quick. I mean, I'm talking out of my ass when I talk about NHL level athletes. I have no idea.
I mean, Varley, it's interesting because this is, I mean, with the Capitals, it was kind of the same thing. He had great, like, two great seasons with them, and then Neubert came in and kind of stole the show. I mean, you remember that Winter Classic against Pittsburgh? It was, they were battling who was going to start it, and Neubert ended up starting it, and that was when Varley was like, I demand a trade.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know all this. You go deeper than me on that for sure. And so this is the same goalie that was in Philly, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't catch up on that storyline. I know people were making a big deal out of it, but I thought it was just like, hey, here's two struggling teams and two goalies. And I don't think Varley didn't even play that game, though. I think that was Berra.
No, he did not. Yeah, it was Berra.
So, yeah.
And then with Waugh saying, you know, if Berra has a good game, he will be starting in Boston. And I think that kind of was like, oof.
So that's not a huge deal to me, though. I mean, that's, you know, supporting the guy who put in the time in practice and who had good games. I mean, Waugh.
Right.
I, I remember him pulling our goalie. I don't remember who was in. It might have been Picks, and he put Varley in or something. But like one of our goalies had a bad game. He got pulled. We made a comeback. We were tied or whatever. And I think we're going into like the last period or OT, and he pulled the goalie that he'd put in place of the goalie who was playing badly and put the other goalie back in. I wish I remember the details better because I sound like an idiot. But I mean, Watt is not against making these moves that are just about winning a game and, you know, starting right. goaltender or not.
And that's something that I think Varley struggles with is the mental aspect of it. I think he does take things personally.
I mean, how can you not, right? I mean, to be
right, and so it's hard to separate. You know, it's hard to separate. So, what can you do sometimes? But I think, and I mean, Varley is, you know, quote unquote day to day. So we will see how that saga plays out.
Right. I think we're going to see him as soon as Barra has an off game, or Picks. We'll see how the injury thing's going.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Yeah, and we'll see how his injury is, and you know, I mean. The NHL is so cryptic with everything, you know, lower body injury, day-to-day, right? Upper body injury. Like, okay, what is that supposed to mean? That can mean anything.
Yeah, that's true. And they get away with it, but it's kind of one of the funnies in the league. Like, it's okay, we get it. I mean, we all saw play. Everybody can see a GIF in 3 seconds anymore of what happened in a game, so we got it.
Right, exactly. But I don't think that Varley is, you know, I think he could be up in the trade with, I think he and Duchene could be a package deal somewhere. I mean, another name that's been thrown out there has been Dustin Byfuglien.
So that's interesting for me because I'm one of these people who hates that man unless maybe he's on my team. Then maybe I might change my mind. But this dude suffers from some of the stuff we talked about earlier. I mean, he's not
an age alone. Size.
He is just huge. He's a monster. And of course he's going to hit people and they're going to fall to the ground in a pile of dust. I mean, he's one of those guys where, you know, it's hard to be that big.
He's a big boy, yeah.
Not hit somebody's head with your shoulder. And it's just, he is also a player who, you know, not dirty, but clever with the rules at times.
Yes, he's very creative with the rules.
He might even be dirty. I don't know what I'm saying, actually. Anyways, if he was on my team, I might think differently of him, but I don't know. I don't really want to see Barty or Duchene go anywhere. I want to see them play amazing hockey and stay here.
I agree. I would like to see both of them stay. I really think that it would be a dumb move to move Duchene at this point, especially. But I think it could also be a tactic to kind of, you know, light a fire under Duchene to be, you know, let's get going here.
Well, that's what I think some of this is with the trade rumors, too. I wonder at times if, you know, writers don't travel with clubs and if the people don't become good enough friends to go, you know, hey, let's let Dater hear this and start a bunch of shit on Twitter, because he definitely did.
Dater tends to do that. And Chambers was like, this is all news to me. He's like, it's not happening. So...
Yeah, I don't know who to follow, and sometimes it's fun. I mean, it's a little bit of like the WWE at times, right? It's like a certain amount of entertainment in what you find online, and the coolest part is you can turn it off when you've had too much, which I do all the time.
Right, and I hope Duchene doesn't go anywhere, but I think Duchene and Varley as a package deal, they could clear some cap space with that too, so there's that as well to think
of. How did Duchene not know that he was in trade talks right now? How is that possible? Somebody in the media told him about it, and then there's
right. It was who was it? Was Pierre LeBrun, I think, who said something to him, and he said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Blah blah blah.
How is that possible?
You know, sometimes GMs will say things and kind of to just get a rise out of their players to make them. Be like, man, I need to step it up. And you know what? If the Avs play well the rest of this road trip, Duchene's not going anywhere. It'll be shut down immediately.
And then Juan Sackick will have a whiskey somewhere and go, that totally works, man. Let's do that next year.
Let go us. Yeah. Cheers. We did it. I mean, those two, I mean, they're not going anywhere either. They, you know, people are saying, you know, how long is Patrick Waugh going to last as a head coach? Blah, blah, blah. He's not going anywhere.
So you know what I think is going to happen? I think that we're going to play just well enough to not want to get rid of them. They're still our guys or whatever, but I think we're going to see somebody go that we don't want to see go, or I don't want to see go, like a John Mitchell or somebody who's just one of those.
John Mitchell is a very underrated player.
He's amazing, right? I call him Johnny Darko, but that's just me. Especially after
his
face.
He's a great
that
player. Oh, yeah.
Right? But he's really good. He's got skill for sure. He can play on any line. It's not like he performs as good as the guys next to him. He can play an amazing third line, and he can play up on the first line and still be just as good.
I agree. I mean, he's a good utility player. I mean, he plays wherever they ask him to.
And I see Skilly as that kind of guy.
He's doing great. I've been very pleasantly surprised with him.
And what a great story, right? This guy earns his way on the roster, and then he earns his keep on the roster. And I think he elevates other guys' games just when they're sitting on the bench watching him go out there and bust his ass.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's really doing a good job. He's fitting in really nicely to the team and the way that they're playing.
I agree. And, you know, we got some of our names that I thought would always be Avs or up on this team that are going down to San Antonio, like Big Z's in San Antonio. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I thought he's going to be there two games. This is a wake up call. This is, you know, the doghouse, basically. But
right,
when we needed a defenseman, he didn't get the call.
I know. And, you know, he's one of the guys we traded for, you know, O'Reilly. I mean, in the O'Reilly trade. And so it's just shocking that he didn't make it. But, you know,
if I'm being honest, though, he's got some holes in his.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
But man, does he have an upside with the hits? I love the hits.
Yeah, I agree. I think Avs defense needs to step everything up in every aspect of the game, but that's a whole other conversation.
Right. I mean, we're getting long into this one, and it could go hours if we go there. So, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you up with some rapid fire questions. Do you mind?
Sure. No, go ahead.
All right. What about Stewart? Is this the end of Brad Stewart? Is this his swan song? He got injured. He's never going to crack the lineup again and fade away.
That's a tough one. I mean, he's 36 years old. It's difficult to come back. I think that he's got one more left in the tank.
With the Avs, you think?
I think so.
He might even have a contract that long. I forget. I know it was something that I wasn't a real big fan of when it came down the length of that.
I think he'll finish out this season, and the next will be his last.
I was one of these people that I didn't mind the story thing at all, but over the years, I'm not mad at him. I don't feel like it's... We need more energy, more youth, less poise, and less kind of, I don't know what it is, like conservative, or that's not even a word, like the way he conserves his energy and then never really uses it to blow up on anyone anymore.
I was never a fan of it, frankly. I thought I was scratching my head at this for a long time.
I wasn't mad at it because given the people that we had before too, I don't know. I just felt like we've been in a bad spot for a while, which is the least thing, is basically what it came down to.
Yeah. I was scratching my head on it. I still am. I mean, I guess it's okay. But that's really as far as I go with it. I don't like it.
Yeah. You were talking about 1996. That means you've been a fan for a long time, right?
20 years.
That's pretty amazing. You saw McNichols.
I did. The old McNichols. I remember waiting outside of the player lot to get an autograph, too, when I was a kid.
So this is off topic, but yesterday was the anniversary of the first ever UFC that happened at McNichols in Denver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, wow. I know. It's kind of weird off-menu stuff
McNichols
there.
McNichols Arena, that's something you don't hear every day.
I know, and it was horrible, actually. I remember it. You probably never made it into the men's bathroom, but they had a bathtub, basically, that all the men stood around in a circle and peed into. That was the
year. Oh, that's awful.
It scarred me for life. All right. So... Do you think that Hayduke should have his number retired then? I mean, you have the history. You know what he meant to this team and what he did.
Oh, I know. I'm like up and down on this.
Really?
I do. I think he should.
He absolutely should. They just retired too many numbers before him. Now they're like, well, we can't just do this forever. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Bork in the Raptors?
Bork is.
What the hell? I mean, he's a great player. He got a cup with us. That was great.
I think that was an emotional retirement, I think.
So I'm okay with his being there, right? But I'm saying that if it came down to him or Hayduke, I would have picked Hayduke.
And Hayduke's a lifer. So.
And he was like the coolest guy in the world. And he was consistent. He was smooth. He was more of a leader than everybody ever getting credit for. Even though he couldn't speak English well and sounded like a kind of a sick moose maybe or something. But
he would always laugh at his own jokes, which I found hysterical.
Yeah, I think he's amazing. And I think his number should be retired. And that's all I can take from the idea that Beauchemin is now number 32 instead of 23. So... The right thing, Avs.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Yeah, Hayduke should definitely. And then, I mean, Tange as well, if you want to go there.
You could make that argument. He's still playing, though, so that's an easy one to put off.
That one, another top, or for another day.
But I'm worried about him fading off, too, actually. I mean, he's hurt now. He seems like he's hurt at least once a season, right? And he didn't start strong like I thought he would. Usually,
he's getting up there,
Yeah, but who knows? So, you know what I heard the other day that you probably know all about, but I have no idea? It's like this world hockey thing. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's basically the World Cup of hockey because they're not sure about the Olympics yet. So they're letting, you know, they're doing this instead to kind of test the waters for it to be like a yearly kind of tournament.
So I have no clue what the hell's going on with all that. You were kind of going deeper, but you think this is something to do with the Olympics? Because what I saw is, just today in passing, but like we couldn't get Eichel because the GMs are saying that we can't grab these players. Like, what's going on? Didn't we used to be able to take NHL players and assign them to a team for the Olympics?
Right. So now it's kind of, there's been a lot more politics involved because a lot of these GMs don't want to take these risks. Because if you look at the Olympics, how many players, you know, went down during that? I mean, the Islanders, they lost Tavares for the rest of the season. And these GMs kind of don't want to risk that. And so that's why they're kind of doing this sort of like World Cup of hockey to kind of curb that, like, you know, satisfy fans because they're not sure if they're going to allow.
I don't know. I mean, between that and the alumni team, I'm confused. I mean, Lyles plays for another team still, right? And he's supposed to be on our alumni team. Like, what the hell is that? He can't come play for the alumni team. He's on another team.
It's interesting. I don't know. It's been so wishy-washy because a lot of players are kind of up in the air with it. Like, what's going on? Like, they're promoting the heck out of it, but at the same time, it's kind of head-scratcher.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I don't even know what to say sometimes. To me, this goes back to the whole idea of telling WA to calm down. Like, no, I mean, clearly you guys are getting gimmicky for the fans. Let's let WA be fired up. And I don't know. I'm really confused by it. And then I saw the World Hockey thing. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, so they're trying to create this, like, you know, mini tournament type thing.
I mean, I dig it for that, right? I'm down on novelty. I was down for the shootout. I like 3-on-3. I mean, novelty gets me. I like it. But it seems inconsistent. And what I'm thinking is that maybe what the league needs to do is let these guys play in the tournaments, let them play in the Olympics, but have some sort of clause in there where if a guy does get hurt, then there's a certain amount of, I don't know, compensation somehow, or I don't know. I'm not a GM.
Yeah,
I do play one on PlayStation, but I'm not very good.
I know and that's like a GM fears because, you know, Tavares, like down goes Tavares and then the Islanders, you know, fail to make the playoffs. And then that's money out of they lose money from that. And that's like the biggest concern. It's all about money.
Right. It's a business at the end of the day.
Right.
So, you know, put a fund together for fines and let WA be mad. Let him be a WA.
Let him be mad. Yeah.
Right, I'm over it. I'm not going to talk about that.
Everyone loves a fired up WA.
I'm going to let it go, man. I'm over it. So, you know, this is one I thought you might know is like, does every NHL team have a farm team? And if so, do they have more than one? I know there's affiliates, right? And we have like,
what every team has is an affiliate.
So like, is there like one official, like where everyone has an AHL team or something, or can you just kind of pick and choose? You're like, yeah, we got a team. They play over at the Apex in Arvada.
Well, there's a primary for each team. So like, for example, Colorado, their primary is Lake Erie.
Is that league mandated though? Do you have to have a farm team?
No, it's not a league mandated rule. It's, you know, everyone just kind of has
really their smart, right? You have to have a place for your depth players and
it's not like, you know, there's like ECHL, AHL, ACHL, you know, all the different leagues that are there.
Let me ask you this. Where do you watch your hockey when you're not at the games? Like what service do you use or is it just all cable?
We have our own feed through NBC Sports. So they send us, we have our stuff that we log into and can do like slow-mo and back and replays and things like that.
That's awesome. So it doesn't suck, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it's really convenient because we can look at something and this is how we, you know, do a lot of our stats is we have to like relook at things and make sure that was an actual quote unquote chance, you know? Because there's like that doesn't count as an official shot on goal type thing.
And where do you spend most of your time then? I mean, are you present for an Avs game or do you just do this online?
I go to most Avs home games and a lot of Blackhawks home games. And it's really easy when Chicago comes to Denver or Denver goes to Chicago. And once in a while, I'll do Dallas, St. Louis, like most of the central teams.
And so do you imagine you're going to get more teams or is it like you just pick a couple teams and that's your niche? That's your superpower?
Well, they assign us. And so really? I have experience with Chicago and obviously being from Denver, plenty of experience and knowledge with the Avs. So,
but you couldn't go to them and go, I am so big on the Jets right now, hook me up. Like, they wouldn't go, all right, here's one more team.
I don't know. I haven't done it. I think if I were to do another, it would probably be Dallas because I am pretty informed on them. But I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't asked about that. But I do get most of the Central. Whenever like Colorado plays any of the Central Division teams, they're like, you're on it. You have to do this one. You have to be present for it. If it's like a, you know, Rangers, Avs, they're more like, you don't technically have to be present, but we would like you to be, type thing. So I think if I did ask, if I wanted more on my plate, I think they would give it to me. I think that they know that I could handle the responsibility, but it hasn't come to that yet.
Gotcha. This is really fascinating to me, actually. I have no idea how things work behind the scenes like that. So it's pretty cool, right?
It's kind of, they tell you what to do and you just say, okay.
Oh, so it's like everything. Got it.
Yeah. Pretty much like every other job. You do what your boss says.
I've got three more questions for you.
Sure.
Is here, you know, the hard ones come last, right?
All right.
Actually, this one's not that hard. Who's the best player in the league right now? But not just
that one. That one is difficult. That's a loaded question right there.
You think? Well, let's stick with that then. Go for it.
I mean, the argument can be made for, and these go to teams that I cover a lot. Jonathan Toews is a great player. Argument can be made for him. Argument can be made for Patrick Kane. He leads in most of the major categories. Tyler Seguin as well. He leads in assists, and then Jamie Benn too. And that's the thing with both Chicago and Dallas, is they both have a 1-2 punch on, you know, they have like the setup guy and then the sniper.
Right.
Which, you know, because like, and then Benn and Seguin are a great duo, and Toews and Kane are a great duo. They make each other better. And so I think it's like a toss up between those four, because there's like, who's a better setup, who's a better, you know, scorer, who's a better, you know, this, that, or the other. I don't know. There's a lot of great players, but I mean, Jonathan Toews is really good.
Oh, he's legit. Even as an Avs fan, I can say that he's really one of a kind. I mean, he's not one of a kind like Crosby or maybe McDavid. He's his own one of a kind. And I would argue that even in that case, he's more best supporting actor than he is the best actor.
The leading actor.
Too. Yeah. Like,
I mean, Kane gets all the glory, but Kane is so hated. It's it's great, actually. It's great how hated Kane is. Kane just like, you know, like, shut
not
up.
Not in Chicago, though, right?
Oh, not in Chicago. Absolutely not. But everywhere else, he's hated.
I mean, I have my moments with him for sure, but I don't hate
but
him.
But Lucic. I love Lucic.
Oh, I'm not sure we can talk anymore. It was going
so
good.
I happen to love Lucic.
Tell me why. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe you can educate me on what I'm missing on the Lucic.
Lucic is, I mean, he's a goon for sure. If Lucic doesn't play for your team, you hate him.
Right? So Buffon, Lucic, all them.
Yeah. I mean, I just always laugh when I hear Lucic because of an incident that I heard when I was down between the glass during a game. Lucic laid a monster hit on somebody and he was yelling back, "No, I didn't. I didn't do it." And the player says, "You know you did, Luch. You know you did." It just
awesome.
Cracked me up to this day. And I actually was in Vegas for the Frozen Fury and ended up seeing Lucic just out, and my friend who's a big Bruins fan was like, "Oh my gosh, Milan Lucic." And Lucic was just the nicest person.
I could see that. I'm an asshole on the ice, but off the ice I'm really nice and pleasant.
And Lucic was thrilled to be talking to my friend, who he was just so excited that someone, you know, from Boston appreciated him and the type of player he was. And then he left the conversation with, "You know you did, Luch."
Funny.
I mean, Lucic is one of those players that, you know, you love or you hate. And if he's on your team, you probably love him because he'll lay those monster hits and he can score too. But he can be thug. He can really be thug. But I love Lucic. I do. I love
vicious,
Lucic.
Right? If I was
absolutely.
If I was an enforcer, he's the last guy I'd want to see. I mean, he's just... He's like a woolly mammoth without hair.
And you know, he's not even the biggest guy, but he is so solid.
Well, and he's got a nose built for this too. It's not even caved in.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Lucic, I mean, that thing has gone through the ringer. That's for sure.
So what do you think of other guys who kind of had his situation? Like Scott Parker wasn't just a tough dude and everything, but the NHL, he scored. He was a skilled player. It's just when he got here, all he ever did was 3 minutes of chasing somebody and 1 minute of fighting him per night.
You know, that's like a lot of players where they've had to kind of find their position to stay in the league.
Right. I mean,
you know, I mean, look at Steve Downing is kind of doing. I'm sorry, what?
I was asking, do you know anything about Scott Parker? I mean, I this is what I've heard, but, you know, I fully admit sometimes I'm speaking out of school on some things. But from what I've seen in his highlights before he got to the NHL, he wasn't just a thug out there. He was legit.
Of those players who, but, you know, this is the league. It's the show. You've got players that are Sidney Crosby that you're dealing with. But he's like, you know, if one of the two of you has to take on the scoring position, who is it going to be? You have to like kind of know your role. Like you're not the first person who's going to take the shot. You'll take it when, you know, you can, but that's not your role on the team.
And if you're a big dude who knows how to fight, I mean, there's a lot of skill guys already on there. This is the best of the best in the entire world on the ice in most cases.
Right. I mean, even look at Paul Bissonnette as an example.
He's funny. Too. As well,
he Biz Nasty is hilarious. But he's, you know, a guy, if you look at him, like he was great with the Kings affiliate, with the Monarchs, you know, but when he comes up to the Kings, he's kind of more, you know, hands like feet type of guy, because he's got the other ones, all the other players, he's got his big body type of role, which is why they brought him on.
Right.
They didn't bring him on to be the goal scorer. They brought him on to fulfill a certain hole that they had.
I mean, what an interesting position to be in, too. You know why you're there. You know you're there to be the, you know, the enforcer, if there is such a thing anymore, but be the tough guy.
Right. But, I mean, you know, look at Cody McLeod. Cody McLeod, he can score, too. He's not, you know.
Do you remember his first goal?
I do, actually.
Tell me about it, because I remember it perfectly, but most people don't.
Gosh, I don't remember it perfectly, but I remember it, and I remember just being like, oh, no way.
Right, so I remember it. I don't remember how he got the puck, but he was like red line in and he was going in on Dominic Hasek of all people, right? I mean, this guy hangs from his ankles.
Yeah, it's like I'm like trying to replay it in my mind.
Yeah, and then he puts a shot on that is just perfect. He beats him just flat out. And like, this is a guy that I had no idea. I mean, he was kind of like Skilly at that point. He was earning his way on where most people hadn't really pegged him to be on the team. And here he is, what, 12 years later, something like that?
Yeah, and he's like, he knows that's not his goal, but when like push comes to shove, if he needs to step up and do it, he can.
Right.
And I think that's what bigger. A lot of these, I do too. I love Cody. Cody is one of my favorite guys to watch out there. He gives it his all night after night.
Right. That's why I wish he was bigger. It's like his inside, his vision of himself is like 5 inches taller and, you know, 20 pounds heavier. He takes on these monsters, and then everybody's like, oh, here goes McLeod. He's going to lose another fight. It's like, well, he didn't necessarily lose it. I'm not saying he won it, but he held his own. And oh, by the way, he's, you know, not even in that weight class.
I mean, exactly.
He's got a hockey game, too. He's not just fists and bad, mean faces.
Right.
He's good at chirp
talk. And I hate to bring up this old chestnut, but Matt Cook, too. Matt Cook has got a little skill himself.
Yeah. I mean, so I say that because I truly hate him, just like every good Avs fan and all that. But I've just been more self-aware lately of kind of what a D-bag I could be on the ice too. And like, if I did it again, I wouldn't be nearly as bad. But sometimes Matt Cook just finds it. He's not looking for it. He just finds it. He, you know,
Funny Matt Cook story with Max Talbot. It was when they were both with Pittsburgh. It was the Penguins holiday skate. I was interviewing Max Talbot for something and he gets a whack behind his knees and he turns around and he says, oh, it's Jackson Cook. You play hockey like your dad.
Wow. That's awesome.
And that just always stuck in my mind when he's like, oh no. Cause he was like, what the heck? And then he's like, oh no, it's Jackson Cook. Yeah. You play hockey like your dad. And even they were on the same team and he knew it.
Talbot's a cool dude, though.
I love Talbot. That was one guy I was sad to see go from Colorado.
I'm pretty sure he's playing.
Two games for Landeskog, by the way.
What?
Two games for Landeskog.
I disagree. I think it should be one. Who can I talk to?
I know, right? Yeah, Department of Player Safety. So there it is. Two games for Landeskog breaking.
Huh. Well, that kind of sucks. But, you know, it could be worse. I mean, they're crazy right now, so. They've been really out some big games for people. So I guess that we're lucky that he's not going out for something ridiculous like 10 games or 7 or something.
Yeah, that would be brutal. But yeah, the league is really cracking down on those kind of hits. So I guess I can see it.
All right, here's the last question. I know I said three, but that was two questions worth right there. Respectful of your time. So, Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic, are they the ones you punch for the Avs beyond this year if things don't go well?
I think they will be there for a minute for sure. If things go awry, I think that fans will riot, honestly. I think 3 years is not enough time.
Not where they were, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think that they are on their way out if this season goes bad. I think they'll give them probably two more.
I've been saying one, but I could see two as well. I think the biggest disservice to their current reign is that Waugh came in and just had this unbelievable year as coach that didn't make sense. And even he was trying to curb people's expectations after that year. He's like, we're getting every bounce. I mean, things are going our way. Nobody's like, yeah, Stanley Cup next year. And then, you know, some reality started to hit and things that most people don't think about,
right?
Like the contracts, the people, the known issues, the things we don't get to know about that are happening in the lower body area or upper body. I mean, they know so much more than we do. So it's not really a position I think most people would really want to be in. But I think you're right. I think they deserve longer to try to set this team up for a good run, maybe 4 or 5 years of being really good again.
I mean, right. And I do think the Avs are so close to being there. I really do. They just need to work together as a team. And I think they haven't gelled yet. The second they do, I mean, that first season with Waugh, that was kind of a fluke thing, unfortunately. But I think that they need to have the confidence from their coach, which means him getting riled up and, you know, standing up for the team and letting them know, like, I have your back. I'm ready to beat down for you guys, which is, you know, what he did that first season where he was ready to throw down with Bruce Boudreaux. So I think they do need some of that. And I think they just need to string together a couple of wins here and get it together. And I think Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh, they know what they're doing more than, you know, the average person, because they've played it. They've lived it. They've done it.
They've been on teams not playing well, too. I mean, as long as their careers were, it wasn't always, you know, Stanley Cups.
It wasn't always Stanley Cups. Right. And I think that they deserve at least two more seasons to right the ship a little bit. Right. I do.
I think without tanking, they definitely get one, no problem, right? If they show some progress or get close to, you know, showing what this team could be, there's two. And from there, it's just how much closer can they get? I mean, if these guys start to make the playoffs and that happens, then it's another year or something like that. But who knows?
Right.
I mean,
and then one thing goes,
this sucks. I don't want to do it anymore.
Probably but at not, the same time, you know, Waugh is more than just a coach with the organization.
He's the starting goaltender of the alumni game. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and he also has an administrative position as well.
I mean, he has the kind of power I think that he needed to come in.
Him and Joe are both, you know, in the front office. So, I mean, Patrick Waugh has a bigger role than just coach.
Whatever happened to Pierre Lacroix? Is he still alive?
He's there still.
Does he like help them as an advisor, or is he?
I think he's just kind of letting them do the thing. He's just there as like a silent kind of.
That's what I would want. I would want to be able to like go to him on a hard night and say, dude, what am I doing wrong here? Help me up here. And then, you know, he would drink some from his whiskey in my vision of this and then tell me in a very
very Godfather-esque.
Save the world. Yeah, that's how I see him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but they obviously know what they're doing more than the average person, so I think that they need to give them at least two seasons, to this season and another one.
I agree completely.
To get it going, because after, I mean, if they don't get together this season or next season, that's, you know, four.
Well, and really, what are the options from there? Tim Army is the coach. Joe steps down to be a coach if we have to get Ulloa. I mean, there's no.
If we get John Tortorella.
Yeah, that's not.
That would be hilarious. I am a big fan of Torts. I was stoked when he got picked up by Columbus.
Did you see the pictures going around Twitter of the players doing push-ups?
Oh, gosh. I love Tortorella. I do.
That's awesome.
He's a really nice guy. He's just feisty.
Feisty's good, right? That's what we've been, like, pulling for on the Waugh side. So
yeah,
I appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah, I do too. And I like seeing a coach get heated.
They're supposed to, right?
Right.
Captain of the ship. We don't know where to go unless they get fired up and say, we're going to do this. Here we go. Rah, rah.
I mean, a great one is Mike Babcock. I was going down to ask who was doing our, you know, intermission interview. And at this point, he was with Detroit. They were down 4-0 in the first. And he just looks at me dead in the eyes, screams in my face, no one, like just no one, and slams the door into the locker room. And then he says, we suck, and just like screaming at the team.
Wow.
I was like, okay. And that's a wrap on Coach Babcock.
This is what makes your job so awesome. You got it too good.
We get to do some fun things sometimes. Yes, we do.
And then you have all those stories that you haven't told me that you're not allowed to say out loud anymore. So I know.
Yeah, we have a bunch that are off that should not be repeated, but I tell them to friends and things just because I know they're not
going.
Right, exactly. Off record.
So you've been absolutely awesome, but I don't want you to go anywhere until you tell people where they can find you and what you have in the works right now. If you got any special projects coming up, or if it's just the usual podcast radio writing thing, or let people know what's going on.
Still doing a pro hockey talk for NBC Sports. Twitter, Jessica E. Canales. And then still working on some demo reels and to get the broadcast show on the road.
That's awesome. That's a lot.
Yeah. So got some stuff in the works here trying to get it all out there. Still doing ESPN Radio, 105.5 ESPN Denver.
What time does that happen?
It varies. It's usually Tuesday with Nate Kregman, 3 to 6, and then sometimes Inside Speedback from 7 to 8.
So if I can't catch it then, can I find it online later? You guys, are you on iTunes or
something? We are working on doing that.
It's the
getting
future.
Some, it's the future. We're redoing the website and stuff to try to do more live feeds and stuff like that.
You totally should. I do all my best listening at like midnight to one. So
yeah,
I'm for it. And I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So I've been totally impressed with you so far. And I think that anything you do, I'll at least be keeping an eye on. I hope other people will too.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun. We definitely have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, my friends, was awesome. Jessica definitely knows what she's talking about when it comes to the Avalanche, when it comes to hockey, and she has a long history. She's talking McNichols here. So this is the kind of stuff that I love about doing these podcasts, and I hope you like them too. Get online and let me know what you think, anyone else you'd like for me to talk to, or if you want to talk to me, let me know. We can make this happen. This show is brought to you by Avsfam, absfam.com, for the coolest hockey shirts you're going to find anywhere online. And they're not just cool, they're pretty amazing, even if you don't know what hockey's all about. You could have a friend that goes, I don't know what a Dutchie is, but I want to wear that hoodie. And that's legit, because these things look legit whether you know or not. Go check them out for sure, www.absfam.com. Stay awesome.